All women, including preborn baby girls, are created in the image of God. Discover the true war on women. www.godloveswomen.com. That is www.godloveswomen.com.
Oh, Sovereign Lord, our souls wait silently for you, O God. We wait for you in silence. You alone are our rock and our salvation, our fortress, in whom we take refuge, and only in you we will never totter or be shaken. O Lord, you teach us not to put our trust in princes, in the men of the world. If riches increase, you tell us not to put our trust in them. O blessed Father, we put our trust in you alone. You will keep our feet from stumbling. You will keep us from being shaken. O Lord, once we have heard it, twice it has been announced to us that power belongs to you alone. And O Lord, you will reward each man according to his work. Holy Father, we pray that you would make Christ Jesus our Lord a shelter for your children during these tumultuous times. Please allow us to take shelter in Christ, to hide ourselves in Christ, and deliver us, O Lord, from the deceptions of the evil one. I pray for these precious brothers and sisters of our church family. We pray, O Lord, I pray, please guard them from the evil one. And please grant them the hiding place of your sanctuary in heaven. They would hide themselves in you, and you would be with them and keep them from being shaken. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we enter deeper into Luke 21, and we do so with a lot of fear and trembling. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. This is the word of the Lord. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, Teacher, but what will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. But the end will not come immediately. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. God has ordained that his earthly temple be given over to destruction. Some of the disciples are marveling over this earthly temple in Jerusalem. They are admiring the splendor of its beautifully cut stones and the radiance of its richly adorned walls and gold-capped pillars. Reconstructed under Herod the Great just decades prior to the birth of our Lord, the temple is almost Solomonic in glory, and stone sturdy, being the great pride and boast of the Jews. Yet the beautiful stones of the temple are not to be confused with the actual house of the Lord of heaven. Because, of course, God is too enormous in his divinity, even infinitely so, to be contained within a physical house in Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5, Go and tell my servant David, Thus says the Lord, Would you build a house for me to dwell in? And 1 Kings 8, 27, But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple, which I, Solomon, have built. The physical temple in Jerusalem was merely made of wood and stone. And yet God had commanded Zerubbabel long ago, after the return from Babylon, to rebuild it. The prophet Haggai chapter 1 verse 8, Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. However, according to the law and the prophets, the physical temple in Jerusalem was always a mere type or shadow of the true temple of the Lord, which is in heaven. Psalm 11, verse 4, The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. The physical temple in Jerusalem, therefore, was ordained by God to be a mere type by which His worshippers might learn of His heavenly abode. But this type is not itself the actual place of God's holy residence, since the days are coming and have come when the true worshippers of God will worship Him neither on the mountain of Samaria nor in Jerusalem, says Jesus, but rather will worship the Father in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the temple of God then is in heaven, and so is accessible only through prayer and only through the holiness of a life lived in the fear of Him by the blood of Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith, and so only by a man being born again, born of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. Psalm 27, verse 4, One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. It is then an act of idolatry for men to trust in the physical temple at Jerusalem more than in God Himself. For the Lord sent the prophet Jeremiah to stand in the gate of His temple in Jerusalem and to proclaim these words. Jeremiah 7:1-4. Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. O beloved brethren in the Lord, beware of trusting in the gold of the temple rather than in the God of the temple. Beware of trusting in the beauty of the church, in her beautiful stones and towering pillars, rather than in Christ, who is the head of the church. That is, the physical meeting places of the church, along with the institutional operations of the church, are merely earthly. They are not to be marveled at because they shall perish. Instead, your hope must be in God alone. For the earthly church, with all of its sins and compromises, shall pass away. Its meeting houses and institutional operations shall perish with time. But the heavenly church, which is the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, shall be proved to be indestructible, since Christ Jesus Himself shall not allow the gates of Hades to prevail against it. Why then do the Jews blindly trust in the temple itself, in its beautiful stones and offerings? Their assumption is that God is always pleased with the temple by virtue of its being the temple. Yet the truth, as the Lord Jesus reveals it to us, is that God is in reality angry and wrathful towards the temple on account of the spiritual corruptions and filthiness within it. Luke 21:5-6. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, He said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. That is, under God's righteous judgment. Why is God wrathful towards His own house in Jerusalem? Why must the stones of the temple be thrown down in the future, such that not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down? Well, the temple has become filled with the spiritual filth of the greed and idolatry and self-indulgence of the chief priests and teachers of the law who lead the temple and who inhabit the temple. Jeremiah 7:8-11. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it. Says, I, even I have seen it, says the Lord. And as this spiritual profaneness within the temple was revealed to the prophet Ezekiel in a vision, we read Ezekiel 8, 3 through 6, he stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, that is, the inner court of the temple, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. This is a filthy idol right in the court of the temple, in the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the altar gate, was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. And is this not the same for the church of our own generation? Do not the church members marvel at the great expansive theater seating in their church buildings and the sleek modern staging of their church buildings, their church sanctuaries? Do they not assume, by virtue of the sheer size of their large churches, that they are rich and wealthy and have no need of nothing, and all under God's rich blessing upon them? Yet they do not know that in God's eyes they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked in their worldly lusts and covetous pride, which they actually bring into the church. So the stones of the temple then must be thrown down. Since God must judge His own house for all of its treacheries against Him, the house itself must be thrown down. The costly stone walls must be cast to the ground. Luke 21:6 again. These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. What will become of the houses of the hypocritical rich? Those who presume to have God's blessing upon them, but only heap up riches idolatrously in these last days. Well, Isaiah says in Isaiah 5:8 through 9, woe to those who join house to house. They add field to field till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my hearing, the Lord of hosts said, truly many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones, without inhabitants. And what then will become of God's own house, His sanctuary at Jerusalem, which is rich in exterior wealth and beauty, but filled with idols and the love of the world on the inside? Lamentations chapter 2, verse 7 says, the Lord has spurned His altar. He has abandoned His sanctuary. He has given up the walls of her palaces into the hand of the enemy. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord as on the day of a set feast. And Lamentations 4, verse 1, how the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. And once again, the temple stones shall be thrown down under God's wrath. The prophet Micah chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. They lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. The proud pastors of prosperous and successful American Christianity presume to imagine that God is always pleased with the gatherings of their churches. They assume that the songs of their churches, together with the institutional operations of their churches, are pleasing to God. But they are foolishly unaware that God is angry with them and even detests their worship services, because since they presume upon the Church of Christ to grant them earthly prosperity and physical blessing, they evoke God's words to them given through the prophet Malachi in Malachi 1:10, "Who is there even among you who would shut the doors?" Shut the doors, "so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands." Are the stones of prosperous, earthly blessing-based American Christianity indestructible stones? Shall the temple of American Christianity stand as indestructible? Rather, shall not its stones be thrown down under God's furious wrath as a judgment against it? Revelation 3:2-3, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." If we desire to please God in our doctrine of the times of the end of all things, we must reject the false doctrine of what is called post-millennialism. That pernicious heresy teaches that Christians, this is what post-millennialism teaches, it teaches that Christians will conquer all nations with the gospel, will usher in a millennial, thousand-year age of peace and unprecedented Christian prosperity prior to the second coming of Christ. And so Christians will be rich world conquerors under Christ before the return of Christ to earth. This is a heresy, even though it's held tightly to by not a few conservative Christian pastors and homeschool leaders of our day. And its dangerous path leads to, this is where the dangerous path leads, it leads to a veiled prosperity gospel, in which Christians are told that they shall acquire substantial wealth through the keeping of God's commandments. But our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us the very opposite of such things. He says that the temple stones shall be thrown down. Earthly Israel shall fall. The earthly church shall be judged, since judgment begins with the house of God. And it is only after these earthly stones are thrown down that the heavenly ones shall be erected in Jerusalem, and that only after Christ Jesus has returned to judge the living and the dead. This is hard for the disciples to take into their minds. This is hard for them to accept. The very stones of God's magnificent temple in Jerusalem shall be thrown down. And this prophecy of our Lord Jesus was fulfilled in the year AD 70 when Titus the Roman invaded Jerusalem with his armies and utterly destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. These are earth-shaking words to the disciples. And so they ask, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of these things? Luke 21, 7 through 8, so they asked him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. Our Lord does not give them an unambiguous sign to look for that will signal the immediate fulfillment of all these things. Instead, He warns them to watch out for false Christs, which are antichrists, who will come in His name and claim, I am He, and who also will tell men falsely that the times of the end have arrived already. These are the false teachers that arose as early as the days of the Apostle Paul and whom Paul sharply condemned. 2 Timothy 2:16 through 18, But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. And they overthrow the faith of some. Before the true end of all things, there shall be many false prophets who claim with this cunning deception that the end has come, when in fact it has not yet come. And this sin of false prophecy is a serious sin against God, even a capital offense against God in the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. Yet even worse than false prophets who prophesy falsely about the supposed dates or arrival of the end of all things, even worse are the false prophets who claim themselves to be the Christ. This is the greatest of all blasphemies. Luke 21:8 again, he said, Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. And then Matthew 24:23-25. Then if anyone says to you, Look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. The greatest danger then is that false prophet who seeks to convince us that he himself is the Christ. That's the greatest danger. This is, of course, not of God, but of Satan. because such a man is Antichrist. And before the end comes, the final man of perdition, the Antichrist, shall come. Daniel 11:36-37, then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. This is Antichrist. And 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-4, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or all that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. O precious Christian, beloved of the Lord, watch out for false prophets who prophesy lies concerning the times of the end. For some will use the morning news to prophesy the immediate return of Christ because of the current tribulations that are coming upon the world. But their fanciful speculations and reckless date settings concerning the end of all things are only designed to win glory for themselves in the eyes of men, and also to capture followers who will fill their wallets with the expensive monetary gifts of a presumed prophet's cash reward. And yet the true second coming of Christ will be much more wrathful than a global sickness, and much greater in fury than a wave of deadly hurricanes. For it is not when the world is up in arms, but rather only when the world is at peace with sin, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace, that the Lord shall come like a thief in the night. For as it was in the days of Noah, men will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and so celebrating the abominations of all manner of perverse and hedonistic sins. And then the end will come upon them completely unawares. The fiery floodwaters of God's roaring fire of wrath will come upon them just when they think that all is peace and safety for them in their sins. And it is in this manner that the coming of the Son of Man shall be. So beware then of the false prophets who equate global prosperity and peace with God's divine blessing. But much more, dear Christian, much more, beware of the coming of Antichrist. For he shall come according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And his deception shall be so powerful, even so as even to deceive, if it were possible, the elect. And therefore, if a man appears before the eyes of the world with the number 666 as his mark, the understanding of which number calls for a mind of wisdom, and has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon, you must flee with all haste from his satanic spell. Do not take his mark on your forehead or on your hand. Resolve now that you'd rather be prohibited from buying and selling, and even be put to death. You'd rather be put to death for the testimony of Jesus then pledge your allegiance to such a man of demonic powers. And pray, O Christian, pray for the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you to give you supernatural discernment concerning these days of evil. Pray that the Spirit of Christ, who Himself imparts to you the mind of Christ, will keep you from all false prophets and will deliver you from Antichrist. Beg your God and Father, even the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to hide you from the schemes of Satan and to preserve you, body and soul, spotless and blameless, all the way until the day of Christ Jesus. For He who called you is able, by His divine authority and power, to keep you from the false prophets and to give you perseverance until the very end. Yet why must these things happen? Why must tribulations come upon the world, even sweeping up the elect in the pain and suffering of their stormy currents? Only the Lord our God, in His infinite wisdom, fully understands His plan for these days of tribulation. Ours, then, is simply the duty of trusting His words, even as He tells us that all these things are indeed necessary. Luke 21, verse 9. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. That is, it is necessary for these things to come about first. But the end will not come immediately. Why must wars and commotions come about? Why must history be filled with wars and plagues and famines? Why must such tribulations come upon the world? Our Lord says that it is necessary for these things to come about first. Before the end comes, these things must come first. For God is ever so patient with sinful man. And so in His divine patience, He deems it necessary to warn the world of the coming wrath with these necessary signs of His coming wrath. Romans 1, 18 through 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Joshua, the son of Nun, the one who led Israel into the promised land, marched around Jericho for six whole days. For six whole days, the priest blew the trumpets of warning and judgment outside of the city of Jericho. For six entire days, it was necessary for Jericho to hear the trumpet blasts of the priests and so to be called to repentance, lest they remain in the city and perish by the sword of judgment. Why then does God sound His six heavenly trumpets of judgment and warning in the book of Revelation? Why must the first trumpet sound and hail and fire mingled with blood be hurled to the earth? Why is it necessary for the second to sound and something like a great mountain burning with fire be thrown into the sea and a third of the sea become blood? Why the third trumpet, such that a great star falls from heaven, burning like a torch, and falls upon a third of the rivers and upon the springs of water? Why the fourth trumpet, such that a third of the sun, moon, and stars are darkened? Why the fifth, such that the locusts are sent upon the earth with power to sting as the power of a scorpion's sting? And why is it necessary for the sixth trumpet to sound, such that the four angels of judgment are released to kill a third of mankind? All these things must come first, since they are necessary in God's loving patience and long-suffering towards the wicked to warn unbelievers of the coming wrath. And yet, even despite all of these necessary warnings about the judgment to come and the everlasting hell that will follow, the rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues that proceed from the great trumpet blast warnings still shall refuse to repent before God. Revelation 9:20-21. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And so what shall be the end of all these things? When shall all of these prophecies about the time of the end be fulfilled? We must wait upon the Lord. For nobody knows the day or the hour of the Son of Man's return except the Father in heaven only. Daniel 12:8-13. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. What we do know, however, is that Christ, who has poured out his wrath upon the stones of the temple in Jerusalem, shall come again to earth to bring the holy city, the new Jerusalem, down out of heaven from God. And in that holy city, there shall be no more temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. For in the end, the worship of God by the church shall be purified through the blood of the Lamb into a perfect worship, such that we never again turn the temple of the church into an idol, but rather worship the God of the temple, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the head of the church in perfection, in spirit and in truth. And so the temple which was destroyed shall be replaced by the city which shall endure forever and ever. And in that city we shall exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy footstool, with His praises filling the entirety of heaven and His glory filling the whole of the New Jerusalem. Thanksgiving unto God ever sounding, songs of His majesty never ceasing, world without end. Amen. So as we now close and return to this remembrance of the Lord's death, we come to the Lord's table. We come remembering Christ's first coming, which brought about our redemption through His blood, even as we come waiting for His second coming, the time of which is still hidden, but soon to be revealed. Before we come, here's the doxology. Praise be to God, our Father, who has thrown down the stones of the earthly temple in Jerusalem, but built up the stones of the church in heaven, which is His living temple. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, who warns us to take heed so as not to be led astray by false Christs who will appear in the last days. And praise be to the Holy Spirit, whose words of prophecy concerning the time of the end shall be fulfilled with complete fulfillment once all of the necessary precursors to the judgment have come about first. Amen.